Amar in the highest assembly, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened. By thus listening to teachings and so forth, I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all transmigrators. Yesterday we went through the commitments, and today we are going to go over the 22 advices. However, before we go on, I want to remind you about the way of listening to Dharma. That, and many of you here have listened a great deal to teachings, and there may be some of you who have not heard so much. But at the time of actually listening to teachings, there is the motivation that we have for listening. And one can have a thought, well, I will listen, I'm listening because I'm learning what I don't know about something that I don't know already. But from the Dharma perspective, to merely have that motivation is actually, it's incomplete. There is, you would say a faulty, or it's not a correct motivation. So what do we need in addition to that? It is the thought that I am listening to the Dharma, to bring about some benefit to my mind. And so when we have that kind of motivation, then it is said there is benefit from the taking of the teaching. So then, in addition to that, if we link our listening to the motivation of bodhicitta, of the altruistic mind, then that having it linked to the altruistic mind is kind of the most excellent of practice aspects of practice. Okay, so if we were going to say it kind of simply and clearly, then it would be this thought that in order to fulfill the purposes of all sentient beings, I will seek to attain the state of a Buddha, and for that reason I am listening to the teachings. And so this is like the kind of perfect and complete branch of practice. Yeah. Lost noted. Okay. So if you go onto that second page and you see the bottom paragraph begins with the first advice, every yoga should be performed as one. Mm. So every yoga should be performed as one. So in essence, this is saying that all one's actions are linked to the essence of the mind training practice, which is also the tonglen, giving and taking practice. And or another way of saying it, in terms of motivation, our motivation should be to accomplish the benefit of others. Okay, so that if we take an example of when we take food, then we make an offering and dedicate that to the benefit of all sentient beings. So whatever other practice like that, whether it is listening to teachings, meditation, whatever the practice is, that is kind of the one yoga, that's the one, the focus of one's practice. It's not an easy practice to do. Okay, so then the next one is there are two activities at both beginning and end. So again, that whatever virtuous action one is doing, whatever thought to benefit, we have these two aspects that in the beginning one kind of generates or directs one's motivation. So one cultivates a good motivation in the beginning, thinking that to benefit beings through this action. Okay, so that we can use, for example, coming here to listen to teachings today, that when we listen in the beginning, we generate a good motivation, thinking that by listening to the teachings, may we accomplish the benefit of sentient beings. And then having listened together, then you have the activity of the end, which is the dedication, which again then is this dedication to the benefit of beings. And then you can apply this also with to the thought of the practice of one lifetime, which we will come to this afternoon. That, and this is It uses the five powers, basically in applying it to the practice of a lifetime. In the morning, you make an effort to generate good motivation, with that to think of benefiting sentient beings, to specifically practice bodhicitta. And then when you come to go to sleep in the evening, you basically check in your mind what you've done and see whether you have accomplished the virtue that you intended to, whether you have been able to benefit others. And if you see that you haven't, then you determine that tomorrow I won't kind of keep following this pattern. Tomorrow I will do it differently, do better. And if you have been able to, then you rejoice in that. You find, you know, generate an appreciation and joy in that, and dedicate. Okay. So like that, also one could determine in the morning, today I'm not going to get angry with people. That to generate that kind of motivation is also very good. And while it may be difficult to remember to generate that motivation, generating, being attentive to the motivation in the morning and generating it makes a difference. And then difference to one's day. And then at sleep time, you look back in relationship to the motivation that you've generated, whether you were able to fulfill that thought. And if you have, then you rejoice. You generate an appreciative, happy mind in what you've done. And if you haven't been able to follow your motivation, then you determine that tomorrow I'll do better. You know, I will try and follow my motivation more carefully. Okay. So train first in the easier practices. Train first in the easier practices, and so that in general, in terms of this mind training, we're meditating on giving and taking. And while in general we could say it is, because the nature of giving and taking is to think of giving away one's happiness and taking on the suffering of others, that's a difficult thing to do, but as one becomes familiar with it, it becomes easier. So, yeah. Yes. Yes. Whichever. Okay, so then whichever occurs, be patient with both. And so there can be many circumstances that bring about emotional, mental difficulties. There can be physical difficulties, various illnesses and so forth. And so whatever of these arises, then one should cultivate patience and, yeah, being patient, forbearing with both, so that determining that whatever adverse conditions one meets, one will always transform them in the path to enlightenment.
By both, are you referring to the motivation and the rejoicing?
Both. The Nikade? Semdanlu. No, both refers to the body and mind. No, different advice. It's not to do with the motivation and rejoicing. Yeah. Okay, so no, in this case the both is referring to body and mind, because there can be many circumstances where one has experiences kind of mental and emotional difficulties, so you're trying to cultivate patience in the focus of difficulties of mind, and then the other side is your physical difficulties when you get sickness or some physical problem, that you cultivate patience with that. So that in terms of cultivating patience in relationship to mental and emotional difficulties is seeing that whatever afflictive emotion is arising in the mind, that we recall the faults of that afflictive emotion and therefore cultivate patience in the circumstances. So in that way, one has transformed an adverse circumstance in the actual path to enlightenment. And then the second is when one is physically sick, then one recalls that this illness is a result of previously accumulated negative karma, and thinking in this way is patient with that circumstance. In addition to that, one can think of it being that physical illness is a part of the general faults of cyclic existence. And further than that, one can think of it in relationship to bodhicitta, that there are many sentient beings who are just like myself and have this kind of negative karma, and they may, by my experiencing it, may that suffice, that they don't have to experience it. So when we think in this way, then basically we have transformed an adverse circumstances into a practice, and that has then transformed it into the path to enlightenment. And this makes a difference when we're able to think in this way, and it helps to decrease the suffering. Because if we feel like, oh, something's happened to me that never happens to anyone else, and one becomes unhappy and distressed by the whole thing, then the suffering only increases. So generally when we talk about patients, there are three types of patients mentioned, and one of them is being forbearing or accepting when harms arise, patients of accepting harms. And that aspect of patience comes in here in transforming adverse circumstances into the path. Well, so this is not an easy practice, but it's actually a very important practice. Okay, so the next advice is guard both at the cost of your life, but this is not a major thing that I'm going to go into here. Okay. Then the following advice is train in the three difficulties. Okay, so going on to the next advice, which is an important one, training in the three difficulties, that there are many different aspects of afflictive emotion that can arise and manifest in the mind: anger, pride, jealousy, attachment. And the three difficulties are, first, identifying when the afflictive emotion is arising in the mind. So this is the first thing that is difficult to do, is identify it in the beginning. Then the second difficult thing is to try and cease it, kind of the middle part of trying to cease the afflictive emotion. And finally, trying to sever, really cut through its continuum of arising. So these are the three difficult practices that we need to train in. So first, this first difficulty of recognizing the arisal of afflictive emotion, so many different afflictive emotions arise. So the first difficult thing is to actually identify when they're coming into the mind, to see them. And then with that, secondly, realizing that these are things that harm us, that actually cause us unhappiness. So to know this situation in the first place, this is a difficult thing. If you think about people in general, they feel like these emotions are just naturally there, and they don't they're just automatically arising, and they don't see that one tries to stop them or change them. And so to see that, to identify that these are, there is a fault with these emotions in terms of that they harm oneself, and so therefore in the moment of the arising, they're coming into the mind, identifying, seeing them for what they are, that makes a great difference, but it's a difficult practice to cultivate. So then the practice in the kind of the middle part is trying to cease their arisal, and how one does that is by reflecting again and again on their faults. And but again, this is not it's a difficult practice to stop them arising, but the difficulty we're facing is to reflect on their faults again and again, so that one uses this to cease them. So that so we reflect on that, we need to know their faults and reflect on them again and again, and then slowly through that process one comes to be able to overcome them even when they are arising in the mind, and cultivating that understanding of continuous way makes a difference. Whereas someone who doesn't understand that but continually gives rise to anger, then without seeing any fault with that, then that emotion will arise more and more, and it will cause them further and further suffering.
Realize it's harm and then not act on it. What we've got to do is get it out of the mind altogether.
Okay. The nanzo nyamlen di chedu. So so nyomon la ngusin de nyemig la tren. Then nyomon gi wongdu madrowa. De tagran digre digmarai so so sem na la nyomon makewachi. Tsōrwe. Moran chiotan. Te tiona nyamlen di chedu. Te ngus en nimik tren nyomon wong madroa chikpo moran digamari sangros. Nyomon makewa le gogorwe. You will have both of these levels of practice. So that there will be, you know, the arisal of afflictive emotion, and then you'll see it, you know, remember its faults, and then because you remember its faults, you will seek to overcome it. And so in other circumstances, we've talked a lot about the general faults of afflictive emotions and their specific faults. So it's remembering those things. Yeah.
In a sense, isn't aversion going to feed it, though?
Aversion.
Yeah. By saying, oh, I don't want this. That kind of brings up the worst.
Okay.
Consequences.
So semla nyomon kedu so so magawa chena. Sanzala nyomon dure drogresedos. Magawa moran de semde nyomon de ngadi gagmare de kibomares de moran. The share rwa de con so so control ne control kya marwa the share gila chorwa de mon this gros tengo yo mon magawa chena nga di sem na la yo na nga di dopamindos ting yo mon de kya nga dopamindos ma ki bu chena de progress gros Yeah. So this advice is not saying become unhappy about the afflictive emotion that is there. It's saying see the faults of the afflictive emotion that is there and try and cease its arisal. So you're not making the mind unhappy about the fact that afflictive emotion that arises, but simply seeing that afflictive emotion is kind of faulty. And that it has, whether it's pride or anger or jealousy, whatever it is, that it has faults and therefore seeking to overcome it.
The emotion here, do we focus more on the negative ones, not really those positive ones? So, meaning only those anger, pride, jealousy thing, but not really, not necessary for things like excitement.
All right.
Pleasure, and yeah.
Okay. Nyomon siyena de kondro dangagel de so so sim yenwa yena kibu chewa de gotab chegugumar.
Chidan
sim more excitement de sim mgom gabwe kabmare de sim. Yeah. So the emotions that wouldn't cause a problem, like cause suffering or like simply being excited or happy, there is no fault arising from those. So that when we say afflictive emotions, if you go back to the explanations, you have the six root afflictive emotions and that 20 secondary. So those are things that you're identifying in as afflictive emotion that you're trying to overcome. So we need to think a lot about the faults of afflictive emotion, both as the specific for each specific one and the general. So, for example, the general faults are seeing that since that afflictive emotion since beginningless time has actually harmed oneself. As long as one leaves it in one's mind, it is always going to increase one's unhappiness, and that being there, one will accumulate negative karma. Under the power of negative karma, one will harm others, and so in the end it brings about both unhappiness for self and others. Okay, so for example, looking at the individual faults of anger, you have things that we see directly and things that we don't see. So the aspects we don't see directly is that anger has a destructive effect on the virtue that we have created, that it actually destroys our own virtuous actions. The things that we do see are that its effect to cause separation and loss between people that are close and dear to us. That the quality of anger is that it has this kind of action of harming others. And anger can make us completely forget about the benefit and kindness that other people have showed to us, and has this kind of destructive action.
It's really helpful to actually understand other people when they're angry and why they don't see what you're doing, you know, see the efforts you're making.
Right.
To understand what angers don't do.
Right. The sort of Mijambagi Kadrin Jepa, the Simjin Jemba La Kondulandu, the Trengiana, the Kodzo, the La Kadrin Matremba, Yung Ha Kona, Pingres. Yeah, when someone's angry, they just do. Do you want to move the chairs across? Is it this? Are you all right? The sun. When someone is angry and just at that time focused on saying something unkind or nasty, at that time completely the mind forgets any kind of kindness or good things that the other person has done for one. Yeah. When that person is angry with this one, in that moment of anger and harm, bad words, they will not be remembering in any way the kindness that the other person has shown them. Okay. So, just in brief, each afflictive emotion, jealousy has its faults, has many faults. Pride has its faults. In particular, pride prevents one in generating greater qualities. And in the moment of afflictive emotion, one of the things is to try and quickly take the mind away from that kind of space, away from that focus. So, for example, in the advice from the Kadampa masters, they say even kind of changing your physical position, doing something different physically, or reciting a mantra, or doing something to take your mind away from being caught up in that afflictive emotion. So that if in addition to that we go away and keep thinking about what they did, that they said this to me and they did that and they did, you know, and we keep on going over it again and again in our mind and actually kind of, you know, analysing everything they've ever done to us, then your anger will get greater and greater. And so you can see that's a mistake. It's a big mistake to follow that. So you can see if you focus on the harms and nasty things that someone else has said, and this becomes your sole focus, in fact what it is becoming like a meditation on anger. So likewise, anyone that one has jealousy of or pride in relationship to any one doesn't focus on the reflections that increase those afflictive emotions. For example, someone that we dislike, when they become wealthy or have good conditions, become praised or famous and so on, then we generally feel jealous of them. And so, again, not following that way of thinking that would promote jealousy in one's mind, but following the advice of seeing that whoever the other person is, it's actually a cause of happiness if they are doing well, if they have wealth and good conditions. Okay, so these are kind of a brief explanation of the faults of anger and so forth. And then the third difficult practice is to sever the continuum of the afflictive emotion. And this is kind of a really difficult thing, because when you're talking about completely eliminating afflictive emotion, then you are coming back to its root, where it is linked to the self-grasping, and the antidote to self-grasping is the wisdom that understands selflessness. So you're talking about meditating on emptiness, and taking teachings. So there are many teachings and so on this aspect. Okay, so this is enough on these three difficult practices. So then transform everything into the great vehicle path so that your whatever one sees, hears or recalls, that one is trying to transform it all into the path of the great vehicle. So again, not an easy practice, but this comes back to all the prayers we make, kind of all our aspirations. Okay. So value an encompassing and far-reaching practice. So encompassing is referring to one's meditation on the altruistic mind of bodhicitta, to our meditations on love and compassion. And one cultivates love and compassion as an encompassing, that it is all-encompassing to all sentient beings. It's not that you're cultivating compassion to the people you feel you like and feel close to, and not cultivating it to other people that one dislikes. One encompasses all. And far-reaching is that and far-reaching is kind of from the heart, not just in kind of mere words or lip service, but or going through the formalities, but cultivating it from the heart. So cultivate the principal causes. In this text it says three, but in Geshe-la's it just says cultivate the principal causes, so that one is looking for the kind of the causes of the important things, such as the attainment of a freedom and endowment as a human, the causes of love and compassion. So that the freedom and endowment is something that if we don't have it, the complete circumstances we need, we can cultivate them. So how do you complete your freedom and endowment? Making the effort to have time to listen to Dharma teachings, using one's joyous effort in the cultivation of virtue, cultivating faith in the teachings. So you can because the quality of freedom and endowment is having opportunity for practice. that when we lack opportunity, that's kind of the opposite of freedom and endowment. And so therefore we can do things that give us freedom and endowment, that give us the opportunity for practice. So that aspect is one's own inner circumstances, one's own inner conditions. And then there are the outer conditions, like the actual meeting of a teacher and making giving oneself the opportunity to meet one's teacher. And a third condition is having the conditions of what one needs in terms of the necessities of life, of clothing and food and so on, in order to be able to practice. Yes. So when you're able to engage in methods, do something yourself to bring these things about. So this is purify the, this one's translated as purify the coarser ones first, or sometimes it's translated purify the stronger first. And that what it refers to is every person has their own specific characteristics. Some people are strongly, tend to get angry, have familiarity with anger. Some people have characteristics of pride or strong character that's very jealous. And so you look at yourself and see what your kind of most coarser or strongest afflictive emotion is and focus on purifying that. Okay, so for some people it is anger which is the problem, and because that very strong familiarity with anger, then they many problems arise from that. Or some people it is strong attachment and there is never any contentment, and again many problems come because they can't get everything that they desire. And so seeing whatever one's own strongest characteristic is, then purifying that. And what does purifying mean? It really comes back to the same advice that we gave before of identifying the afflictive emotion and identifying its faults.
Mm.
Okay. So don't let three factors weaken that sort of what we are so that we in general we are not letting our practice weaken. So first is in general we're not letting our practice weaken, and then specifically the three factors are is that do not let one's respect and faith in one's teacher weaken, which is not an easy thing to do, but that's the first advice. The second is do not let one's conscientiousness weaken as regards one's training. That when we lack conscientiousness conscientiousness then about what we're doing, then under the power of that lack of attentiveness, conscientiousness, then we may not keep our ethical practices purely. We may not be attentive to not create the 10 non-virtues. So one cultivates an attentiveness, a conscientiousness. And then the third factor is do not let one's joy in cultivating the mind training teachings weaken. And why does one not lose kind of the joy in this mind training practice? Because if one loses one's joy in it, one's own compassion and love and bodhicitta cease to increase in this. Yeah. Okay, so that point about do not let your conscientiousness as regards your trainings weaken. So when we're using this term trainings, it actually has a wide application. If you're talking about it for the training for people in general, that refers to not creating naturally harmful actions and cultivating the ethics of restraining from the 10 non-virtues. And then if you're talking about someone who's specifically... because when people keep ethics, an ethical basis in this way, it is a basis for things to go well, for happiness to arise. And then you can look at the ethical vows. Like for lay people, you have the household of vows, which are the five household of vows. So that when, as in that level of practice, keeping those household of vows well acts as a cause for harmony within the family and the household and so forth. Whereas when we have the vows and we lack conscientiousness about it, then many faults arise. Further than that, if one's taken bodhisattva vows or if one has taken tantric vows, if one lacks, again, conscientiousness as regards the trainings one has taken for those, then it's not possible to give rise to the siddhis, the attainments of practice. Okay, so we're going to cover these next lot fairly briefly, otherwise we won't get through. So never be parted from the three possessions. So this refers to one's actions of body, speech and mind. So with one's body, this is one's physical engagement in virtues such as making prostrations and so forth. In terms of one's speech, it is one's recitation of refuge or recitation of mantras. And in terms of one's mind, it is one's meditation on love, compassion, bodhicitta and the view. Okay, so, all right. So the next one is, if you relapse, meditate on it as the antidote. I'm not going to spend time explaining that one. Engage in the principal practices right now. That is seeing that now we have the freedom and endowment as a human that we make right now, today, use of it by practicing the Dharma. Okay, so Okay, so then going down to don't apply a wrong understanding. There are many different aspects of this wrong understanding, such as wrong compassion or wrong rejoicing. And so, for example, of a wrong compassion, it is that some people, when they practice Dharma, they then have very poor circumstances of in terms of their living conditions or food and so on, and people see that and then they feel kind of concerned and generate compassion towards people because of those circumstances. But in fact, it is a mistaken compassion, because that what one's actual focus of compassion is sentient beings who are oppressed by suffering. Yeah. So an example could be the Venerable Milarepa, who, when he was doing his practice, he lived in a cage and had very poor food and necessities of life. And some people, seeing him living like that, generated compassion to his situation. But in fact, that was a mistaken compassion.
Mm.
with. Okay, so then mistaken rejoicing. So, for example, this would be if you have someone that you don't get on with and that you dislike, and then they have a hard time and things go badly for them, and you feel happy about that and rejoice in it, them having a hard time. That's a mistaken or a wrong rejoicing. And in general, what our object of rejoicing is, in whatever virtue or happiness that others engage in, that in any of their activities of virtue, we find rejoicing and happiness. So there's a very extensive explanation to that one, but we're not going to be able to cover it all. Geshe said, don't be sporadic, practice unflinchingly, and release investigation and analysis are the next points, but he's not going to go into them. Don't be boastful. I was just checking that I had the right order. Don't be boastful that basically when one has benefited or done something for somebody else, don't blow one's own trumpet of talking about everything that one did for other people and so on. So you don't boast about all the things you did for other people. So don't be short-tempered, that it's when being short-tempered is exactly that someone does something very small or says something very minor and immediately you get angry with them. So, yes, not cultivating that kind of behaviour with small things. So don't make a short-lived attempt. So this is referring to one's practice. So that if you practice for a couple of days and then you leave it for a few days and then you have another go, you won't get much benefit out of that. So don't be short-lived in your approach to practice. Mm. Yes, because if we look at Dharma practice, the purpose of Dharma practice is to benefit the mind. That's our focus and focus of practice. But to change the mind is not an easy thing. It's something that one needs to keep a kind of a continuously working at, and then over time you see that there has been benefit and change. Okay, so don't expect gratitude. It's in the same vein of what we've been talking about, that you do something for something else and you're hoping to get some major benefit back in return. And so not doing things with that expectation. Right. Because I'm not expecting gratitude because you don't get the real benefit out of what you have done for benefit, because your motivation has been impure. Okay. All right, so that's what I want to cover on these 22 advices. So we've got time for question, I think.
Question about the state of compassion.
Yep.
Just to clarify, if the motivation is sound to begin with, you may be sitting on a bus or in any situation and perceive that someone is suffering.
Yeah.
In actual fact, that may not be the case, but the motivation is sound, and you take that opportunity to consider compassion as a way of helping the mind in practice. Even though it's mistakenly directed, I guess my question is there any harm in that?
Okay, so if you just see someone in a difficult situation, or what appears to you as a problem, but you're mistaken, is that...
In fact, it could be a mistaken
perception. Okay, all right. Mi jemba la tondu, zanzan la mi jemba tondu, chetan mi jemba tondu, kozo kangan yu samgi yana de ninje kye. Yinan chichina kozo mixel kangan me, so koa di norsong te ninje kya ya kyun yorwe mora ngi ninje kolok rwes
te ninje kolok yung
Yeah, I mean, if they did have no suffering, then you could say it was a mistaken compassion. But there wouldn't be a fault in generating that, no. Because it's not going to harm your mind in any way by generating that compassion.
My question lies in the first sentence, which I wonder whether we can say a bit more about it. He says every yoga should be preparing as one. The yoga, what do we mean yoga?
Neljo tamche ki cha, then neljo karere.
yoga said yoga is not just in yamlens. Yamlens said that yamlens said that chita nae chul said that teshi jata mongko teshi japan chi la tu si ko tane shine da la tu ni sun pute la wai ni na chi shine da la tu ni sun pute wana na chi ane te sulu yo bana na jo pase ni me pase o tu tu si ni te ke te chi mo.
Okay, so yoga in some ways is another word for practice. And so, but it's used in many different contexts. And so, for example, one practice of yoga would be the combination of calm abiding and penetrative insight. That practice would be known as a yoga, and the practitioner would be a yogi. Yoga, yeah. So then you can say generally, like a yogi, and a yogi is the practitioner, and a yoga is the practice. In terms of the practice, it covers one's actions of body and mind, or covers both body and mind. And so, for example, you will find the term yoga within tantric practice, and there are physical yogas or physical practices one does in tantric practice. So, for example, you'll find this term within the tantric explanations. They're talking about the four classes of tantra, and the two highest are yoga and highest yoga tantra. So in that case, those two terms are specifically relating to the practices of the mind of those two classes. So it's that yoga in that case refers principally to the mental practices. So, however, in this case, when they're talking about yoga, they are really talking about all our general actions, of like whether one is taking food, resting, going, whatever one is doing, so that all the practices associated with these general actions. So in all those circumstances, one is trying to train one's mind in giving and taking, or train one's mind in the thought to benefit others.
Talk to you, Niki Tarapaja. panda shava ta nam do yim re ta nyum mo panda che de la ani thas chi to pa che de la to pa che pa che
che pa che
so be che che ne to che ni che che ne mi che ne to si ne ta panda che che ma to chi ni ta pa che so ta de chi
okay so it does relate to the conceptual mind, but basically it is the conceptual concepts associated with afflictive emotion that you are continually trying to abandon them, so that you are using your analysis in a continual way to eliminate afflictive emotion. Yes, so conceptual mind in itself is a very kind of vast category, but within that it contains afflictive emotion. So so you're using your analysis and investigation to release or abandon afflictive emotion.
Mistake and compassion.
Mm.
Can ever be
example? Do you have an example?
No, I don't have an example. Okay. I'm just thinking of those times when it's thrill and joy and say for you see a beautiful thing or something.
Right, okay. Nazo kolot ninji kejena. Kolot gawa. Your west, they will call Morangi Pesh, the Chalak Ninzebu, you know, the Ninzebu Pitobo Dana Susu Gawa, Gawa Kiwa, the Kolo Gawa Ruiz, what Joey Dewa Gade.
Stan Gawa said,
You
see, you Gawa said, Gabi.
Yeah, you could say there is a mistaken or wrong joy, that if you look at your kind of truly true or real objects of joy, they are things like compassion and liberation and the attainment of enlightenment. They are really objects for joy, but generally, as far as objects of possession and wealth and so on, we generate joy in them because we exaggerate their qualities. Our mind kind of exaggerates what they have. And then, so in that sense, you could say there is a mistaken joy in that.
Samsala
jigdengino na so chi chi gino de sachan nin zebo de high level zewa tongu dos de sem da shiwa dangawa yongres inan de de kolok gawa sigurus. To say probably not mistaken, specifically mistaken. But it's only a temporary thing.
But not how you
kyun nge kap gi gawadi kyun mari no 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 I don't think there would be a fault in that. Yeah.
Real estate link people who go into the so-called helping field of work, like social workers, counselor, those would seem like to oversee tape.
Yeah.
I can't quite get a grip from what's been said at the wrong profession. Yeah. You're doing that sort of
Maybe I'll get Geshe, maybe we'll ask Geshe just to explain wrong compassion again. Because I think the Morangyang Yuran Ninji Kula Penamijambala Chigil Roa Mijamba Roba Chewa Draman Rao Yorwa Pendi Ninji Kula Marwa Ninji Kula De Chigil Roa La Pembig Droba De Namanaso. That's not mistaken compassion. Ninji Kula Chunyam Len Chena De So mistaken compassion is when you if someone who's determined to practice the Dharma, then through that determination, they're in a you know, in poorer circumstances and difficulty and so on. And you see them and you feel badly for them and kind of compassion and maybe they're doing the wrong thing. That, you know, that, that their circumstances are difficulty because they're doing their spiritual practice. So it's, you know, they're not, suffering for, no reason.
It's like seeing the surface of the pain or whatever, without seeing the full depth behind.
Well, the reasons that they're actually a practitioner, kind of going through a hardship to actually accomplish a spiritual thing. It's not just the nawa matapa chibo marwa, the nawa, the kozo gyumzen ki. Yeah. So it's Yes, so that if you go back to the definition of compassion, which is that seeing a being that is oppressed by suffering and wishing them to be free of that suffering, that when a Dharma practitioner is has a lack of some lack of their necessities of life, that's not that lack isn't a lack that is an oppression of by suffering. So they're not an object of compassion.
So would that also be someone like Mike Inglis, who's got like his legs cut off, you know, he's got these, but he's okay with it, you know, and he climbs mountains and stuff, and so if you gave compassion to him, it would be like, well, he's all right with it, why are we, sometimes with people like that, you can feel sorry for them, you might, you know, like...
Mijam pina korang kamba mewa ki posa chik do. Inan korang member tabji tiena kamba ki tsab yore ko kamba gyab dro tukres. De ninji kena ninji kola rues de korang de kyun me de dupa dro tukres. De ninji kola marwa. Yeah. That would be actual compassion. Because I think the so the chibati chu che ma che roa the kozo mix and ngekap kangal yume de
well,
you're looking at the reason for the suffering.
Yeah, but you might look at an ethnic community, right? And they live Westerners, well, they should be living in their own individual houses and not live with a dirt floor or whatever. But they're perfectly happy, you know what I mean? There's no suffering there. But quite often we look at a community or something that's happening, you know, and we think there's something wrong and there isn't.
I think we're still not. This is not the. No, this is.
If that person, you know, he has feeling suffering, you know?
Yeah.
Then you generate compassion. Then that is the real. If he's not feeling suffering, you know, then that is not real.
Yeah. Yeah, someone that is oppressed by suffering. Yeah.
Could you explain a bit more about the release investigation and analysis again? Is it just that you set it going, but you're not talking about letting go of investigation analysis? Because the path of the practice requires that you do investigate and analyse, right? So I hope the right interpretation.
But not expected to be seen.
Let's do the two questions separately. That's right. Tochu nigi tarbaja. The nigala tua di kor res. The Tochu nigi tarbaja. Gan chenangatso toba dan chuba cheba chegurwe. The pangwa kechum marwa. The Tochu Pangwagi Labjaman. Yeah, so the investigation is a kind of a grosser analysis or a grosser reflection on, and analysis refers to going down to a very subtle level. I don't know, I find the English translation is tricky. But you're basically using your investigation and analysis for the attainment of release, of liberation, tarpaja, rather than, it doesn't mean saying stop it.
Right. It's just a different interpretation of the word release, I guess.
Yeah.
When I first read it, I thought it meant let go of it. But
yes.
Bringing about investigation.
Yes, it means using it for the release, Geshe-la said, like the release of afflictive emotions, for removal of afflictive emotion, the attainment of liberation. Rather than going sina injila release investigation and analysis de toba dan cheba la sam chewa nanjin ge sigma nanjine. Yeah, so that's not what it means. Yeah, so it's really use investigation and analysis to eliminate, to release from afflictive emotion.
Joy's effort, which was one of Never Be Part from the three positions.
About joyous effort, the yutsu sum, the chide geshla tsundru, tsundru la, tsundru kiawa, the tsundru kariyante. Dan tsundru kariyante. So we had the three aspects of bring about methods for one's freedom endowment for that spiritual practice, cultivation of faith, and then joyous effort is one's joy in putting effort into listening to the teachings and thinking about them and meditating on them. It's the joy in that whole practice. So that your faith and your joyous effort and practice become part of how you attain the causes of freedom and endowment. And then the third is second is one's meeting with the virtuous friend, and the third is one's having the methods that meet one's necessities of life. Yeah. So joyous effort and faith for bringing about one's causes of freedom and endowment all fit together. In this case, we're talking about this life. So in this case, we're looking at this life. In terms of future lives, one would kind of generate an aspirational prayer. And so in terms of this text, it's saying, look and see whether one has the complete conditions one needs in this life. If you have all the conditions you need, then rejoice in that, find joy in it. If you don't have the complete conditions that you need, then do something to try and bring it about. And in terms of future lives, generate aspiration and prayer to have all those conditions in future life. Whether that's mistaken to find happiness in those types of... Okay. Tambo de... Lovejoy... lela. Lela. So, where's that? Nanjo. This one doesn't have it. Then Nyamlin, that's a lelapo. The tambo de Nyumum mar de la, yeah. No, de ngunla. Then Nel, Neljo tamche chick duja, Lognin tamche chick gija, Lognin tamche. Then it. De nyamlin le lavode. Nyam su lawa lawa ja. De moran pechik tin chichik jagadi yu. Gana so tambo, so kangi yena ninja kia. Dan de tsansam mikpache de so ukna yoma de jinla dan de ganga de. Sem dan lu kya tene dungandan digbaganga de partha di rumba tambu che dan tonglen de jengi dungan len dan par dewa jumba tawa de rumba niba chena di nanjan nyamlen lawaja gi senshiroba so la kangal yun en ninji kye en kangal de mikba che ya de jin la shuwa dan par tang wan so dungal dan dik jo par tang de
bimba de ta mara la wan nashin wan de si wan tang pung yen shen ki dungal de se sam sam shira ka wu yu wan shi su la ane su su wa su su ga ane su su
Okay. So the stage for to train in the sorry. Because Tonglen is difficult, taking on the sufferings of others, one can think of it by beginning with one's own suffering. So you think, the meditation is of thinking of, say, for example, a suffering that you're going to have in the next few days, and you take it on in the form of a black smoke and give away one's happiness. So you're just accepting your own suffering within the next while in as a initial practice and taking it on as black smoke and giving away their happiness to others. So there's a lot of stages that you can do before you get to actual giving and taking, that you can do it with your own suffering initial, and then your own suffering over the next month, over the next years, over this lifetime, over future lifetimes, and then you can then think of the suffering of one's friends and dear ones and take it on, and then when you get to a point you can think about taking on the suffering also of those who are strangers, so you can approach it in a very kind of graduated manner.
Tēnē mōrāng trīwa nīpāndē, ngānsū kārsūs chikdēng kīpū dhrāman rāo yōrēs pēnā pūgū yana sōsū pūgū sōsū nāmi kī pūgū dē sōsū kīpū chēwā tā chikdēng kīpū chēwā dhrāman rāo māmbū tūs tī kūyōng rūwēs.
Yeah. So in terms of finding happiness in just kind of the ordinary things of life, like the children of the family and so on, there's no fault in that. No immediate fault with that.
Is it your ultimate inherent attachment, though? That's why you give up a worldly life, theoretically.
Okay.
A better spiritual condition, even though sometimes you see a place with being a mother. It's all a level of attachment.
Okay. Then, Tardok Samutan, Chagbi Yulru, Estes, Ozopena, Kimbagi, Kimbi Detan La, Ngim Junche de Drapa, Dan Chu Chikpuchen and the Kimbagi Trotam Machewa. Tatok Sanota. So that if you're focused on the kind of your ultimate thing, is you're looking at to see whether those things are increasing afflictive emotion or not. So that's your kind of that's what you're looking at, is it increasing afflictive emotion or not? But in terms of as a householder, it doesn't mean one can only practice by being a monk or a nun. There are the householder vows and the whole sets of practices for householders. So that's part of the that was part of the kind of way of practicing. But you can see also the other side of it. If you have a big family and you've got lots of work because you've got your big family, it can make it difficult to have time to do your Dharma practice. So you can see that that's a circumstance that can affect how much you can practice.
Question about that practice of breathing in your own suffering.
Mm.
When you breathe out,
and you're giving away happiness, you're giving it to yourself. Okay. So dunga rumba tambo di susu dunga lendu da dewa partandu. Dewa di susu la partangi mi jemba la partang. You give it to others. Yeah. Mm. So dunga lendu dewa de part. Yeah, so you're taking on your own suffering, for example, of the next few days, but you think of giving your happiness to others. No? Yes? What?
I'm just saying lucky time to eat.
Probably is. Okay. Any other questions? We're good? There's time if anyone's out at PAMS tomorrow and they have more questions, then there's time tomorrow morning. 40 Main Road Tower, or is it 42? 40 Main Road Tower.
So is that on the main stretch of road?
Yes, there's the big squash club, the blue squash club on the left. And it's Redwood Village. Yeah, I think it's 40 Main Road Tower. So it's just past Dress Mart, and you've got the blue wall of the Squash Club, and there's a right turn there. But she asked if everyone can park on the road because there's not room particularly. Which flat?
Left.
deepest on the right.
First, yes, on the left.
On the right. If you turn left, she's on the right.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
So what was it about the flashlight?
It's just, it's there on the left, almost exactly opposite where you walk into her, into the kind of village area. Yeah, well, Redwood Village. I think direct, as you go in directly, there's a little garden, isn't there? And a pergola, and you just... You're left and she's immediately on the right there, right by the... her house borders on to the little pergola and garden area. Ten. Yes, that too. Sanya Pamnala de Pamge Kachang Chip. De Kozo Tering Triwe Sani. True, Ganga Lim Gamatma Sani Jitsudu. Okay. One, I think he's seeing Nicole, and after lunch, Gishra will talk to Nicole. Lennon's going to come tomorrow to Pam's and Claire. Yeah. Well, I guess so. Are we tanda ngatu gom gyab yena de samche? Yeah, if we just before we finish up, if we just stop and sit and go through, so you can mentally go through what we've talked about.